Greetings again, retreatants. It's Pastor Bob, as you may have guessed, and this is day four, part B of our seven-day journey with Thomas Merton. Day four is entitled Encounter with Christ, and we have already heard part A, teaching us that Christ himself is ultimately the focal point of our life. And we use several excerpts of Thomas Merton's to explain the depth of meaning of what that being central in our life is actually like. He says, this Christ who comes and enters our hearts is someone whom we come to know as a friend. And now we pick up with part B, continuing with our encounter with Christ. But then, as well as these great hymns of celebration of the power of Christ that we heard in part A, there is also the encounter with the hidden Christ. The idea of Christ coming as the tiny child, secret, hidden within us, was popular among the 12th century Cistercians as they contemplated the mercy of God in the mystery of Christ's birth. Merton has said our Christ life is a gift of the infinite mercy of God. Our Christ life is a gift of the infinite mercy of God. We have been given this free gift of love, and we must receive it with free and grateful love. Otherwise, it cannot be received at all. It must be received with free and grateful love. Otherwise, it cannot be received at all. Merton is here reflecting on the Christmas sermons that he would have heard, on the theme of the gift of love from God, the merciful love of God, and how we respond to that gift of God. Christ has been given to us to make our salvation easy and joyful. And Merton says, and if we will only look at him and see the greatness of God's mercy radiating from the gift of the incarnate Word, we will be unable to resist his love. If we would only look at him and see the greatness, we would be unable to resist his love, unable to remain cold, despondent, and sad. We will respond to his gift of himself with the spontaneous gift of our own selves. That child lying there in the manger is the little Word given to us to be cherished and nurtured. It's telling all of us about our own motherhood of Christ, showing us how we should receive this newborn infant gently and with maternal care. So we are reminded of the grace and the demands of being a mother, the qualities of gentleness and tenderness that it asks of us, our readiness to nurture and to foster his growth. These are the qualities which he says belong both to each one of us individually and to the community as a whole, the church. It is good to take time to reflect prayerfully on the responsibility of receiving this gift. Merton says, guard it, nurture it tenderly, as the infant Christ, until the child who was born for you may be formed in you. He, not only by being born, but by living and dying, has handed over to us the pattern which we must follow. He needed not to be born for himself, or to live, or to die for himself. He was born, lived, and died only for us, that we might be born through him, that we might live according to him, and that we might die in him, he who lives and abides forever. Merton would know of another 12th century Cistercian named Isaac of Stella, who carries this image further as he speaks of the growth of this child in our hearts. Blessed, he tells us, is the soul that never forgets or lets go of the child Jesus. But then he goes on to say that we must also contemplate the growing Jesus. Just as the son of Abraham became very great, and as that son was Isaac, whose name means laughter, so let the Son of God grow in thee, he says, for he is formed in thee and from thee, and may he become to thee a great smile and exaltation and perfect joy, which no one can take from thee. Merton's own time of private prayer remains secret, though the way in which his whole being radiated a great smile and exaltation must surely tell us a great deal. It is, in fact, most often in his letters that we can glimpse the Merton of prayer. For here, to friends and inquirers, he was rather less reticent about his own hidden spiritual life. Writing to the Zen scholar Daisetsu Suzuki, he speaks of this Christ within. He writes this: the Christ we seek is within us, in our inmost self. In our inmost self, and yet infinitely transcends ourselves. Christ himself is in us as unknown and unseen. We follow him, we find him, and then he must vanish, and we must go along without him at our side. Why? Because he is even closer than that. He now is ourself. So, you see, it is in the very depths of our being that Christ dwells. That thought is fundamental to Merton. In one of his last conferences in India, on his own final journey, Merton spoke movingly of how in our lives of faithful love, we must reveal this great mystery of God's love for us. Now, as I read this, let us try to deepen our own commitment to that same faithful love in our own life. The words of Merton again. This is the very root of our being. Therefore, what we are called to do is to live as habitually and constantly as possible with great simplicity on this level of love, which proceeds from the depths of our own being, where Christ reigns and loves. This is a dimension of love which no one can take away unless we close the doors ourselves, and no one can bring it in unless we open the door to Christ, opening our hearts to Christ and dwelling there. But the Christ child in our hearts is also the Christ crucified on the cross. As we come closer and closer to the mystery of the love of Christ, we are drawn to see the depths of that love in the figure who holds out his arms to all of us from the cross, and whose suffering is the most eloquent expression of that love. Any authentic following of Christ is a movement into the obscurity, the loneliness, and the sorrow of the Christ on Calvary. So, you see, the heart of Christ within us opens up to us the most mysterious part of ourselves, which Merton could only describe as le point vierge, the inmost desire in the heart of Christ makes itself somehow present in us in the form of that little point of nothingness and poverty in us, which is the point or the virgin eye by which we know him. We do not need to know and to understand about the cross and the way to the kingdom. Merton says what we need to know is the inmost desire in the heart of Christ, which is that we should come to the kingdom with him. He alone knows the way which is that of the cross. So as we begin to wrap up day 4, part B, let us tie things together a bit. Let's begin. It is in Christ that we find ourselves restored, made whole, and made free. What do we do in response to Christ in our life? That is the question which faces us at this point in the retreat. For that is where everything else is focused. Surrender to Christ. So easy to say. But can I actually do it now? Lay at his feet the whole of myself, the self that is hurt and wounded, my joyous and smiling self, and simply ask him to grow in my heart. Let us end with the words from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my help. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Before whom shall I shrink? There is one thing I ask of the Lord. For this I long, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. O Lord, hear my voice when I call. Have mercy and answer. Of you my heart has spoken. Seek his face. Amen.